God, I thank you that we have the opportunity to hear your word. I thank you that you can anoint people to speak what you want to have said. And I pray this morning that we would not do or say anything that the Father has not called us to do. Lord, we surrender to you right now. And even if there's something you want to pull out of this message, Lord, pull it. God, if there's something that you want to put into an addition to it, God, put it in. And we just want to hear you and want to be obedient. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Man, well, as we jump in, was anyone else hot in this room? Yeah. Sometimes we do need to shake it off, like Pastor Nick was saying, just to waken up a little bit. So I'll just remind you, you can amen and hallelujah as much as you want. Amen. We're an alive church. We're not a dead church. Amen. If you are alive in Christ, then you should be alive. Well, I want to start off this morning by looking at a somewhat difficult passage. If you were here last week, we went through what we call practical deliverance, and that was a tough topic to hear for some of us. And I think in turn, God had it planned and in store for me to get to preach a tough topic. So it's not as difficult for you as it is difficult for me. Mandy, we like to share that. But it's a somewhat difficult passage. And again, last week we went over practical deliverance, the application of that, because Jesus wants to bring you out of what you're stuck in. Man, hallelujah to that. He wants to bring you out of things and for you to take steps to not go back there. And this week I want to look at that a little bit deeper into that topic of deliverance. Deliverance is the action of being rescued or set free. It is the area of like an authoritative utterance, even. That's the description of it, the definition of it. And into this passage we'll be looking at this morning, it can be controversial to preach. Did you know you have a somewhat controversial pastor? I'm okay with that because I'm a biblical pastor. But it can be somewhat controversial because preachers don't always want to deal with the truth of it. And Christians don't always want to acknowledge it. And as I was praying and preparing for this message, I was asking, why, Lord? Why? And I realized the progression that God has us in, that God is preparing to move. Wow, that didn't get enough. God's preparing to move. He's already moving, but he's preparing to do some bigger stuff. And we've been talking about a move of God, wanting to disciple and outreach and expect God to move. And our passage does all of those things this morning. But also, God has in mind not just a moment of single deliverance or a single event, but a much bigger picture. His deliverance spreads. So God has more in mind just in my life or your life than just us being free. He wants you to be free so your family can be free, and your church can be free, and your region can be free. And in order to do that, we have to know what we're dealing with and know how Jesus deals with it. And that's the premise of today. I'm going to read a few scriptures before we get into our main passage this morning so that you don't think we are crazy or weird. We're just biblical. And we're following God in what he wants to do in our church and in our valley. We're expecting him to move because he says he will, and we're going farther than we have before. So Ephesians 6:12 says this: "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Colossians 1:16 says this: "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Colossians 2:15, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." I love that one. Because Jesus makes the enemy look bad. That's what he does. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that last verse especially lets us know that there are not only forces in this world that work against us, but that they would like to separate us from the plans that Jesus has for us. That is their mission for this whole world. They would like to steal, kill, and destroy. But our passage found in the 8th chapter of Luke this morning, Luke 8, you're welcome to turn there, shows us what Jesus does with these spiritual forces and his plans for us and those around us. Let's read Luke 8, 26 through 39. Luke 8, 26 through 39 says this. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me," for he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Amen. We're looking at this passage this morning to realize that God is preparing to move. He's preparing his people to do so. And we pray that every church in this valley will be filled with people being saved. If you didn't know, we are not a selfish church. We want every church to be full because God deserves more than we can do on our own. We're on the same team. But in preparing to move, God is going to show us how to pray and what to expect. He also wants to make sure his church walks in freedom and knows how to see others free as well. Now, this story is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll try to take things from all those to get a somewhat comprehensive look. But we're doing it in a short time, so please know that we could spend a week every day in this passage. We can't touch on every single little thing, but we want to go over the main point. We're focused on the main point this morning. And surrounding our passage or of course other teachings of Jesus. In fact, right before this passage, there's teaching on seeds being sown, light being revealed, Jesus showing that his true family is the people of God, and then that even wind and waves obey him in the middle of the storm. That is preceding this passage. And I think all those are important because of what is about to happen. Jesus is about to plant a single seed and let it grow. He is about to be a light that shines to the Gentiles, not to be hidden any longer. He's about to show that spreading the gospel to get a brother and sister in Christ is a paramount thing in the life of a believer. And that Jesus has the power, get this, to do whatever he wants to do. He can set people free. He doesn't have to, he wants to. He wants to. So some scholars think that the storm brewing before this passage, impeding God's work, is the work of the enemy because he'll try to turn you back from the will of God. And that is true in a sense. He tries to do that. But what I really think is happening is that God allowed a storm to happen so the disciples could be witness to the power of God. Remember, when you are walking through a storm, it's not just a woe is me moment, but you can stand and declare that you're about to see the power of God. The power of God. And that gave them faith for what they were about to see afterwards, even though they didn't have faith in the moment. See, God is preparing you for the future. Even in a moment when you seem to fail in your faith, he's building you up for the next thing. And Jesus is being an example of faith. Remember in Romans 8:11, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. What does that mean? That means if Jesus did it then, he can do it now. He can do it now. And the Holy Spirit in you is capable of great things. Jesus even asks the disciples a few verses before this, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Church, we have to welcome God stretching us. Because watch this, where the disciples were afraid of a storm, Jesus shows them that he not only has the power to free them from a physical storm, but he is about to show them he has the power to free them from a spiritual one as well. Jesus has the power. And I want to look at this morning what Jesus does first. He sets foot in the region. He sets foot in the region. That's the first thing he does, our first point. If you didn't know this, Jesus is into multiplication. Do we have any math lovers out there? God bless you. God bless you so much. I wish I was that. But it's not just you he's after. He's after all the people that you can influence. Because again, freedom is meant to spread. Jesus is engaged in all of these teachings that we just went over with mainly the Jewish people. I want you to listen to this. In the scriptures and the gospels, there's mainly the Jewish people involved. There's a few Samaritans, a few Gentiles that were involved with the Jewish people. But in this instance, he goes out of his way to meet one person. Jesus specifically comes to set you free. Can you receive that? You, to set you free. We see this in Luke 15, Matthew 18, where Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one. He is going after you, and he's going after every single one. And what we would feel is out of the way, even in our story, is both the love of God and the strategy of God. Did you know God is pretty strategic? He's a pretty smart guy. And that is that God wants to, as he loves you, cause a chain reaction that frees all of the people around you. We're going to see that in a moment. So they sailed to a place. The disciples and Jesus got into a boat and sailed across a really big lake. It's so big that it has huge waves sometimes. And they went to a place full of Gentiles. That's people that did not believe in the God of the Jewish people, of the Hebrews. So they go over there, and Luke says when Jesus stepped onto the land, he was met by a demon-possessed man. And we draw from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, upon seeing Jesus, the man ran to the landing spot where Jesus either was or was going to be. It reads, though, that he was almost there when Jesus stepped out. And I'll tell you this, when Jesus comes to a place or to a person, the devil will try to meet him there in opposition. Church, demons are not dumb. They've been around a lot longer than we have. And get this, they know the scripture. They know the word of God, probably better than most of us. The devil tried to twist scripture even to Jesus to tempt him. He certainly will with you and I. We have to know the word of God. But when you bring Jesus with you into a situation or even a place, expect opposition from the powers that have ruled over that place or person. They don't want to let go. They don't like him. Demons do not like Jesus. And because of Jesus in you, they don't like you. They don't like you. But the enemy saw Jesus coming. But you should know that that is all that they could see. They don't know the plans of God. And this is important. Demons cannot see into your mind unless you let them into you. They are not all powerful, but they want you to think they are. They are created beings that were cast out of heaven. But get this, God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is present everywhere. Satan and the demons are none of those things. He has to send messengers out to do his desires. And the power behind idols and false worship is often demonic in its root. So, you're not just worshiping a thing, you're probably worshiping a demonic force that is behind that thing. Other religions, idols, people who worship those things, those are demonic in nature. Don't allow any of that into your home or into your life or into the lives of your kids. Church, things like tarot cards, psychics, crystals, astrology are not from God. And they are demonic in nature. If you dabble in them, you're letting an access point of the demonic realm into your life. And we see that even more. Did you know that there are kids' shows out there that are glamorizing demons? I know this is a hard, almost awkward thing to talk about, but the church has to know because we're getting ready for God to move. And God is cleansing the church because we're focused on what Jesus wants to do. So it's not a strange topic. It's not an old Pentecostal, super spiritualized message. We address things because they have to be addressed. We address things because they are in the Bible. Church, Satan has gotten the church to think that these things don't matter or don't apply. Did you know, watch this, in the book of Mark, which is 16 chapters, it's got 11 instances of the demonic realm. If you average that out per chapter, it's about two-thirds of the book of Mark. Jesus talked about this a lot, yet we as Christians don't. We as Christians don't. But I'll give you one of two things that usually happen. You've probably seen both. One is that there are those Christians that are like, there is a demon behind every bush. That coffee is too hot. That is demonic. Sorry, I don't like coffee. So you have that side, which is not true. And you have this other side that says, we're just going to avoid it like it's not there. And let them do whatever they want. Because we're fearful or whatever. But it has to be addressed because Jesus is addressing it. Jesus addresses it. Jesus wants to set an entire region free in this passage. We have to know how to pray and how to address circumstances that need to be addressed because we want God to set our region free. And the spiritual strongholds that need to be broken. Know that Jesus comes for a reason. Up to this point, this moment is the strongest expression yet of the power of Jesus over the forces of evil that the disciples have seen. This instance provides the most detail of Jesus working and commanding authority over the enemy. It displays not only the power to overcome nature with the wind and waves, but the power of the Messiah, our Savior, to release the captives from darkness. We often ask God for miracles in the physical. Heal me, provide for me, whatever it is. But Jesus came to do even more than that. Yes, he heals. Yes, he provides. But yes, he sets your soul free. And the disciples were in awe and fear at him calming the storm. They even ask, who can this be? That the wind and the waves obey him. And Jesus answers not just with who he is. He answers with his further hold on being the Savior. Supernaturally calming the storm in this man's soul. And let that sink in. Who is this man? Jesus. Jesus. He didn't come just to bless us, just to protect us from storms. He came to set us free. And in this one person, this demon-possessed man, was a legion of the enemy. And that's about 6,000 demons. But we think it mainly symbolizes that there was an organization or an organized host of the enemy at work. And it terrorized the entire region. And this is where it gets interesting. In that man represented the way to an entire region. And there's two thoughts inside of that. A single salvation can break through an entire region. A single one. And then we need to pray and break through any demonic stronghold on our region, our city, our valley. It's time to take back what the enemy thought he had hold of. The valley can belong to Jesus. And once we realize that, we can take the next steps. When you decide to address the region, then you have to know the reason why you have the authority to do that. The reason for it is that Jesus wants our valley. He wants all the people in it. That's why we have to share and show the love of God to grab on every single person, that every person has a chance to encounter Jesus. And the reason it's possible is that the person of Jesus made it possible. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you to further accomplish his work. Take the offensive. That's what Jesus is doing here. Catch this. The enemy's plan is to do whatever he can to get your eyes off of Jesus with offense, deceit, selfishness, failure, and even success. He might do it with a storm in your life. He might do it with people around you that seem apathetic or that seem not wanting to know the story about Jesus. He might do it through fear in your own heart or fear of the enemy or fear that you might have to do something that is uncomfortable. This possessed man tried to get the disciples focused on what they shouldn't be focused on. That's still his tactic. Watch this. In verse 28, it says, the demon-possessed man, he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" This is before Jesus was fully revealed as the Messiah. And the enemy is trying to get them, the disciples, to focus on who Jesus was, possibly politically, to the Jewish nation as their Savior and the King, instead of who he was spiritually as their Savior and King. Or in other words, what he could do for them instead of in them. And that's the tactic the enemy will still use in your life. What he could do for you instead of in you. You see, the devil doesn't mind you looking at Jesus in that way. What you can receive from him. He doesn't like it, though, when you realize that Jesus wants to do some things in you because he wants to do some things through you. This man had all the signs of needing deliverance, and I want to look at those real quick. Signs of demonic influence or strongholds that we still see today. First, he had no dignity. He walked around naked. If you didn't know that was wrong, please know that that is wrong. But you see that spirit still at work today with no modesty in our culture. Drifting further that direction. And church, I'm not saying you have to wear a blanket or a dress or anything like that. You don't have to wear a suit on Sunday that's not in the Bible. But we need to be modest in the way, watch this. Would you wear what you're wearing next to Jesus? Just think that. So it doesn't have to be your best. It could be your best Carhartt. Maybe Jesus is going snow machining with you. Because he's with you wherever you go. But make sure you're not being influenced by the spirit in this world. Next, this man was extremely isolated. If you didn't know, isolation is not from the Lord. Unless it's for a short time where God takes you into a wilderness. That's the one little time. Other than that, God expects you to be with the people of God. Because you have gifts that he wants to give you that affect the people of God. And you can't be challenged to grow unless you're with people. Unless you're with people. But we live in the most connected yet most isolated culture the world has ever seen. And we feed on that as a culture further with racial or financial or cultural differences that are not from God. The enemy wants to separate, especially in the church. Next, this man lived in an unclean place. Places that represented death, like tombs and caves. And church, we glorify death in our culture. And where this man lived and dwelt in an unclean place, he became an unclean place for the demons to dwell. Next, his speech was controlled. If you control the verbiage, the news, and the education, you control the people. You see, the strategy of our enemy is to control what is being said. We see that in our culture today. And then he displayed extraordinary strength. Mark says that they couldn't hold him and he broke chains. Watch this, church. The enemy will mimic what God can do. You remember the person of Samson? So that you fear and forget what God is capable of in you. You see, in that man was the fear and control of an entire region. But like Samson, God puts strength in you to set a region free. The power in you is stronger than any other power. And watch this. The major tragedy of this man's life was not just his physical or mental condition. It was that his life was controlled by powers that were completely against God. He was a slave needing to be set free. And I will say this. There are slaves in our community needing to be set free. Needing it. Can you imagine what would happen if our valley became realized of the power that they are to walk in? The army of God that would rise up. We would see the forces of hell shaken and torn down. We would see probably pot shops closed. Bars closed down. We would see God working, people changing, and those places would close because no one would go to them. We're talking about not a pipe dream, an imaginary thing. We're talking about something that has happened in places before. It can happen again, but it takes a church. The community of believers, not just this one. We're talking Big C. The church of the valley to realize what God wants to do. In church, there is a difference between possession and influence. As a fellowship, the Assemblies of God, we don't believe that a Christian can be demon-possessed if you are truly a Christian because you have been bought and paid for by Jesus. That spot belongs to Jesus. But you can be influenced and attacked. You ever been influenced or attacked? All of us have been attacked at some point. We allow access in our lives through the areas that we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit on. Because the Spirit will lead us to remove anything that is not of God. That's why obedience is so key to the life of a believer. The enemy desires to set strongholds in your life to keep you and the region around you under control. But church, we don't have to live like that any longer. Don't be afraid to be set free. We often disregard that there are spiritual forces at work. Sometimes we don't believe it, and sometimes we just don't want to admit it, because then we'd have to deal with it. Ephesians 6:12, we read it earlier, I'm going to read it again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Church, these things must be discerned. They must be realized that God is at work and there is an enemy that is working against you. He doesn't have the power God has. He doesn't have the power that is in you, but he wants to do anything he can to stop you. But we don't have a reason to fear. We're on God's side. And if he is for us, then who can be against us? It reminds me of a story of an evangelist named Smith Wigglesworth, where it said he was sleeping and a demonic presence came into his room. He realized what was happening, and he said this, "Oh, it's just you." And he went back to sleep. I like that story, not because it makes flippant the situation, not making light of the enemy, but rather to let you know the power of God inside of you to not fear. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can see the truth in every situation. We don't fix our eyes on the power of the enemy or what he wants to do, because that does not matter. We serve Jesus, who is all-powerful. And when he steps into the region or he steps into the room, the enemy is the one afraid. The demon in that room had no stronghold or right. He was powerless in the life of a child of God. And in the demon-possessed man, he was losing power over that entire region that it controlled. We could witness the freeing of our valley if we begin to pray the strongholds and forces loose. Jesus uses terms in Mark 3 like this, tying up the strong man, that refers to Satan, and then, I love this part, robbing his house. Robbing his house where he thought he was safe. You didn't know this, but in this analogy, you guys are supposed to steal from the enemy. You're taking back the ground that he thought was his. And in our story, the legion had to ask permission to go into the herd of pigs. Instead of being sent into what they call the abyss. We don't know exactly what that refers to, but the Greek implies that it's the place that they are destined for, and it would be too early to go. You see, church, watch this. The demons are fearful of Jesus, and they know their future. They know where they are headed, and that's what this is saying. So remember that the enemy against you is fearful of the Jesus inside you. And when their stronghold is broken in your life, in your family, in your region, the kingdom of God is not only established, but it advances. That's why that one passage says, the violent take it by force. We are not only on the defensive. Most churches stay on that side. God, please protect me, shelter me. And those are good things to pray. But you also have a sword. Are you using it? Take the battle to the enemy. I like the thought that Jesus was like D-Day on the beachfront. The enemy was overwhelmed by his power. Which brings us through the third point. Jesus is after a relationship. Jesus came to be in relationship with this man. He came to be in relationship with you. And even though the town he was at and all his people did not respond in that moment of truth, Christian tradition teaches that that man became a pillar in the church there that would be established. The man comes to the feet of Jesus and asks to stay there. Because when we are free, the place we want to remain is at the feet of Jesus. You should desire that. If you walk in freedom. But it is from the feet of Jesus that this man is commissioned to witness. If you have been set free, you have been commissioned to witness. People need to see the relationship of Jesus in your life. It is your encounter with Jesus that will help an entire town and region have an encounter with Jesus. They encounter the Jesus in you. You are the beachhead in someone's life. You are the beachhead in a region. You are. It's not the pastor. It's not any other single person. It's all of us. Because you have an area around you of your influence that Jesus is saying, take that ground. Take it. I want you to take it, and I've empowered you to do so. The Gospel of Mark displays much of Jesus' constant aim of defeating Satan and demonic powers. Jesus drives out and casts out demons, exercising his authority to force the demonic strongholds to give up control. And I love that, to force them. Because they cannot stay in the power of Jesus. And this victory shattered Satan's power and reaffirmed God's power in your life. Total defeat of the demonic realm came through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Total. One commentator says it like this, and I like it, so I'm going to read it. Says, we must declare war. Acknowledge the problem and its source as not flesh and blood. Then attack and overpower him by prayer and God's word and fasting. By doing this, God destroys the enemy's weapons, deceit, and temptation. Then take what the devil had possessed and keep it clean. Church, we are the army of God, assembled to take this region. I'll say this, you are not here by chance. You are here because God's strategy has placed you here and that you have a mission. If you are a Christian, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to advance the kingdom of God, walking in his power for such a time as this. You are in the valley for a reason. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand all across this place if you're able. Again, we are the army of God. And the worship team, prayer teams, you guys could come up. But church, I want you for a moment, look around you. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. The people that you not only rely on, but that you go to battle with and for. The army should not be in disunity. We cannot be an army that turns on itself. That has been our past. And it's time to break all of that off. There are three simple things in this altar call this morning. First, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, now is the time. Now is the time you can be free and you can be given purpose in your life. You have a purpose. Join the army. We want you. Next, if you have an area in your life that you need freedom from, whatever that is, from sin or from some stronghold, maybe something in your family, something you feel like that has been cursed, some family member that has not been saved, and you want to see them set free or that thing set free, then come and receive prayer this morning. You can come and do that now. These prayer warriors are ready to pray with you and see some things broken off. You can come. And then lastly, finally, if you are ready to break the strongholds in our region, to see it come to Jesus, to see every church that preaches the gospel filled, to see mass amounts of people encountered by Jesus, to see the valley no longer known for crime or drug or alcohol use, to see the spirit of deception, death, suicide, division broken in the name of Jesus, then come and begin to intercede for our valley. The Holy Spirit inside of you will show you what to pray. That's what the word says. To begin to see every stronghold broken. Every single one. If that is on your heart, please come and fill this place down here, the altar, and begin to intercede for our valley. We want to see it changed. If that's you, then come now. If you need prayer, come now. And let's see what God wants to do. Let's go into worship.